We serve a God of abundance, yet you're still living paycheck to paycheck. We serve a God of order, yet your house always seems to be a mess. You feel unappreciated and overwhelmed just trying to keep up. Does the noise of life drown out the voice of God? Hi, my name is Gina Morton, a Catholic wife, mom, and declutter coach. Welcome to Pruning to Prosper, the podcast where we talk about all the practical things to run your home smoothly. Clutter, money, mindset, and yes, everyone still wants to eat, so we'll talk about that too. That nagging in your heart is God telling you He has more for you than just trying to keep up. If you're ready to get uncomfortable, get brave, and see what you can do, then grab your garden shears because you're about to prune away the stuff so you can prosper into the woman God has called you to be. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pruning to Prosper. I'm your host, Gina Morton, and on this podcast, we prune away all the stuff standing between you and the woman that God has called you to be. Today is a very special episode because we have Father Brian Miller from the Diocese of Allentown, Pennsylvania, joining us. He's the pastor of St. Catherine of Siena in Reading, Pennsylvania. Father Brian and I go back to youth group, I believe. How far out of seminary that was for you?
Yeah, so Gina, my first assignment was at your parish at the cathedral, and that's where we met. I was assigned there as the transitional deacon, and I remember meeting you for the first time downstairs in a youth group meeting with Father Bortz at the time. He was still there for at least a couple more weeks, and then the transfers happened. But yeah, that's where we first met. So that would have been 2010. So 2010 to 2013, I was your parish priest. And then God had other plans for me. It moved on to St. Patrick's in Pottsville, then St. Catherine's in Redden as an assistant. And then I was pastor at St. Joseph in Shepton, St. Mary's in Ringtown for 1 year as administrator, two very small places up in the coal regions. Mm-hmm. Then I was down in Frackville and Ashland for 4 and 5 years. Along with being chaplain at Marian Catholic High School. And then the last 2 years here, definitely the biggest parish that I've had, St. Catherine of Siena in Reading. So my brief little thing, but yeah, it's been a while since we had a conversation like this. So it's good to see you, Gina.
I know, it's so good to see you. And, you know, you were such a good priest and I loved having you. You were just always so humble. And I remember, I'm in Allentown, Pennsylvania, and we have Muhlenberg College here. And I also remember you. Were you also the chaplain at Muhlenberg College?
I would fill in from time to time.
Okay.
So I would like, yeah.
I remember we call that our last chance mass.
Yep.
It's like, 8 p.m. on Sunday or something like that.
Yeah.
So I do remember seeing you there sometimes too, but I do miss you. And I remember you came to my house when I used to run do you remember I had a prayer group for women?
I do.
Taught us.
I also remember being at your new, I don't know if it's your current house, but I remember you moving at some point. I think me and Monsignor Baker might have came over. He might have blessed it for us, but I remember being part of that too.
Did you come that time?
Yeah, I think so. I could be wrong on that, I remember being at the new house. I love the big window there or something. I remember there's something about it I really loved. So,
well, I don't want to say too much of what you did because I don't want people to be asking you for lots of favors, but you also said a mass for my daughter's first birthday here.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Cool. Yeah.
That was really special.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we go back to 2010. So thank you so much for your time, especially now that I realize that you're the pastor. This is really special. Thank you so much. I know you probably don't have a ton of time. So I reached out to Father Brian because I see people's budgets and I work with people and we talk about budgets and things like that. And one of the things is tithing. This comes up. And I don't know if you've ever heard this expression, Father, but have you heard Christians tithe and Catholics tip? Did you ever hear that?
I've never heard that. And I don't know if that's entirely true. But we can get into that actually, because I did want to talk about the concept of tithing. But I'll let you run the show here. So go ahead.
I always pray, I prayed before we got on here, that the Holy Spirit guides the conversation. And I did reach out to the Facebook group. I said, do you guys have any questions for, I'm having a priest come on and talk about tithing. So the first question that I had for you, and it was also from the Facebook group, was, can you just
tell us what is tithing and what is the official church, the Catholic Church stance on what we're supposed to
Perfect.
Do.
Yeah, perfect, because that's my notes that I have right here on that, from the catechism, from the canon law. But then also we have to make sure we understand what it means, especially when you talk about canon law. The church is very precise in the words that they use. So there is, you know, there is some guidance here. The canon law says this, Christian faithful are obliged to assist with the needs of the church so that the church has what it needs for divine worship, for apostolic works and for works of charity, for the decent sustenance of ministers. Okay. But it also says in the catechism, make sure I can find it right here. Somewhere in here, there was also the little phrase here. I'm sorry, I don't have it right away, but the phrase, according to one's own material needs. Okay. So that line that I gave from canon law, notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say a tenth. Okay. The church doesn't specify what the amount is. And the canon law is like that. It's going to give you some guidelines. But it's not going to be, it's never going to give you an amount or how much of your income, because look, this is the universal church. So living in the United States is going to be different than living in Latin America, in Africa, in Asia, not to mention all the different economic hardships that are coming up, not to mention, again, just the cultural background of everything. There's so much that goes into it, and each individual family is uniquely different too. Some have medical needs, you know, that other families don't have. Others are struggling for employment. Others are, again, maybe there's some other material sustenance needs that they have to attain to that might dwindle their tithe. So the church does give a very high priority to it. But it, again, it's always to one's individual needs. And I also have some down the road, make sure I mention this at the end, some ideas that could help people, especially those who are really struggling with giving money to the collection. I can't believe I'm saying this as a pastor, but again, I try to be as patient and merciful, but also trusting in God's divine providence. So that's something I have to practice as a pastor as well. Worrying about the finances of the parish occupies too much of my mind and my heart. I know that. I bring that to our Lord. And so there's always a matter of trusting. So I never, as a personal, myself as a pastor, I hate talking about money. I never do it from the pulpit. I never ever would demand that someone have to pay or give money. I'm always patient, understanding, but also Just the other person, I know you work with people and their budgets and stuff like that. Be mindful of the church. It is important. Divine worship is right up there with our physical needs, you know. And so there's a nice balance, but also a lot of discernment between the two. So again, the church says that the people should provide for their parish, but it doesn't specify how that is or how much. Okay. And so that's going to be on the individual and on their discernment and on the guidance of their conscience of what they can do. And people like you, Gina, who are helping them with that, you know, also relying on that wisdom as well.
Yeah. I'm glad you started off with that. And I never read that in the canon law, but pretty much like my cliff notes, what you just said is like, you're obliged to help run the church. Like, and I think sometimes we forget that the church is not just, you know, the holder of all this real estate and art and all that kind of stuff. Like, yeah. I think sometimes that people get that in their head, like, oh, they don't really need the money. But we have to remember, yeah, like, these are big old drafty buildings a lot of times.
Yeah.
We have teachers to pay. We have staff to pay. We have a parking lot that needs to be plowed, you know, before Mass on Sunday. And I think part of this conversation, Father, is, and I'll get to my own issues too, eventually,
yep.
But this is all good for me to hear too, because I think we've been through a lot as a Catholic Church in the past couple of years. And I think for me personally, that was like our one voice was just say, like, I'm going to give you this much, or I'm going to take away this much. And that's how I can express my disapproval and anger and frustration. And I heard that from people too in the in my when I put this plea out for friends to get to me.
And I think it works both ways. So first, starting with the pastor, we have to be also responsible with the people's money, you know. So how extravagant are we living and living off the, because my salary is paid for by the parish. So when the people put money in the collection, it pays part of the bills is the priest's salary. And that's how it's set up. I believe here in the United States, I don't know how it is in other places around the world, but you know, then there's also part of that is also like for our food. Well, for me, it's not meant to be used for an extravagant thing. You know, I really try to live like the way my people live. I don't want to have the nicest car or the, the extravagant food, or I only eat this type of, fancy mushrooms. You know what I mean? Like, so pastors need to be also responsible, I think, with that as well. Then on the other end, yeah, there's real cost. So here at this parish, since I've been here, we've had the roof replaced, the carpet replaced, the parking lot's going to be repaved. There's tons of potholes in it in 2 weeks. And then we're moving. We built a new rectory next to the church so that we can then reduce the bills at our old church and old rectory on Perkiomen, reduce the cost that way, move down here. There's real needs. And again, I have some suggestions to remind me to bring those up at the end. Okay. Of this is there's other ways you can really legitimately help the budget of the parish that doesn't involve you giving money. Okay. And as a pastor, I'm going to show you what I need that I would love to have people just help out with.
Well, I think that's perfect right now, because I had kind of like people I know and people I work with kind of broken down into like four different categories.
Okay.
So I think might be about to say, I'm not sure, might fall into this first category. So I have and know of very devout families that are just struggling, and they tithe a 10%, if not very close to that, but yet there's not enough money for the other bills.
Yeah.
So my advice, I don't want to get struck by.
So here's my advice to this is good, because this is what I was going to get at to people just in that situation. Mm-hmm. Again, and this is assuming that the bills that they can't pay is like their housing, their water, like the sustenance needs, not the luxurious cars or we need money for food, we need money for shelter, we give 10% to the church, but we don't have money for this other stuff. So for those people, yeah. If you're able to, if you have the time frame, look, here at St. Catherine's, if we have volunteers to do certain things, it could really legitimately reduce a lot of costs. And there's two ways of helping the budget, right? There's giving money, the revenue portion. There's also cutting expenses, that you can also really financially help the church. If you're able to do some, I don't want to say serious, because all volunteer work's all gone volunteer work, but volunteer work that legitimately like cuts out an expense, something that the parish is paying for, that you say, hey, look, I can help you out and reduce what you're paying this company to do, like landscaping.
I was just thinking that, yeah.
You know, like landscaping. And there's people who love the garden, people who love the flowers. Maybe your church needs some beautification. You look outside your church and there's weeds growing, there's shrubs that need to be trimmed. We could use a nice flower garden here. I mean, to hire someone professionally to do that, that's expensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, so just think of if you have someone who has a passion for that stuff and can devote your time, and you're legitimately saving your parish money for, I mean, that's financially supporting the parish, snow removal. Myself, I'm going to make a cheap little plug right now. I'm looking for a communications person. I would love someone to work on communicating from the parish to my people of the parish with social media, all that stuff. That stuff can be done at home, know, some people are trying to get me. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to hire someone to do it. But if there's someone out there, again, that's struggling financially, you could work at home and just do social media posts and stuff like that, and communicating to the parish. I would love that, you know, and heck, depending on your parish, maybe even the pastor would give you a little stipend for it. So not only are you reducing expenses, but then you're getting a little extra income that you could use, you know, elsewhere. But just ideas like that, cooking for the priest, you know, some parishes hire a cook. Now, I don't want people to lose their jobs, but I don't have a cook right now, you know, so people volunteer, they make a meal, they bring it in. I love to cook, but I don't always have the evenings to do it. Again, something, maybe make a meal for your family, set aside a tenth of that. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding with that number, but a portion of that and ask Father, again, that's a meal that the parish isn't paying for, you know? And again, it's not like you have to make your own meal. Just if you have some leftovers, and you know, maybe get a little portion of that to give the Father for dinner. Again, just little suggestions like that. There's more ways to financially support a parish than just put. Again, I can't believe I'm saying this as a pastor, but just put money in an envelope. I mean, you can also help reduce some expenses with some good solid volunteer work. And again, you're doing a great service and a great service for the church.
Yeah, I was hoping you would say stuff like this. Yeah. I thought, yeah, I'm going to let him say whatever he wants to say. But I remember, I remember being in confession one time at Cathedral, and we were not giving 10%. And I remember, and I was a young mom, and it was, I won't say the priest name, but I really like this priest too. But I was like, yeah, I feel guilty. We're not given 10%. He's like, I remember my parents putting in change, Gina. He's like, you do what you can when you can. Yep. And then Monsignor Baker, who is now at Mount St. Mary's, right, in Emmitsburg, he used to always talk to us about time, talent, and treasure. Yep. And when I met you back when I was doing youth group, I loved the kids and I loved spreading the message of Jesus to the young. I love high schoolers. That's like my wheelhouse. Not a huge fan of the little ones, but I like when they have their opinions and they can talk, you know what I mean? And they're starting to put their faith into action. But part of the reason my husband was the president of CYO before we had kids. He also used to do youth group with me. He kind of pushed away once.
Yeah. I don't remember him too much. Yeah.
No. Once I had Charlie, he agreed that he would spend Sunday nights babysitting Charlie so that I could come to the church. And then I taught prep, and I don't know what else we did. We did all the stuff at church, but one of the reasons was because we had no money. we're like, well, we don't have any money to give, but I was a stay-at-home mom, so I had lots of time. And it was so fun because I felt like we lived at that church. And you know, any parenting question I didn't have the answer to, I would say to Charlie, save that one for Monsignor Baker. Like, we were constantly there. And like, I remember you and Father Hoffa coming to sit on the front porch for the fair, you know, like watching, you know, the Allentown fair. And you get to know your priest, and it's so nice because it's really no delineation between church and home. It's like, this is our life. This is what we're doing today. And those were some of my best days of parenting. And I do feel like the more we earned financially, it's almost like the stingier we got. It's like, well, I need this. I don't know. Can it be better used somewhere else? And okay, but I'm jumping ahead. So the next category I have of people is like, what if people don't have, they're really, really struggling financially, and they've put tithing on hold, or they have never tithed. Do you have any thoughts on what they should be doing?
Well, again, I think going back to the first example, same thing, volunteer, like you said, time, talent, treasure. Just get involved, you know, get involved and provide some great services for your church. So by tithing, do you mean like the tenth of one's income? Yeah.
I think that's just because what I've always heard. But again, it's not how I was raised. It's not really anything I ever heard from the pulpit either. I think it kind of depends on where you're
because
from.
like I said, the church doesn't officially teach a certain amount of what that is. Okay, so tithing comes, it's from the Anglo-Saxon word meaning a tenth. Okay, again, coming from the Old Testament, not to get into too much scripture study, but just you have to understand in the Old Testament, there's three types of laws. Okay, there's the universal moral code, which is always binding, like think of the Ten Commandments. Okay, then there's laws that pertain to liturgy. But again, a lot of that has also been overcome by the Mass, and all the purification laws are kind of overcome by the sacrament of confession. Okay, like confessing of one's sins is how one is purified. And then there's a third type of law that deals with just the everyday living of the people at that time. Okay, so we're talking about people who lived 1500, 1000, 2000 BC in the Mediterranean world. Okay, I think something like this is where like tithing would fall under that, that one tenth. Okay, but you got to understand those situations are different than the situations we're living in now. Okay. And so the one-tenth isn't it's not an absolute moral norm as far as giving, okay? What God demands is the giving of our hearts, okay? The giving of ourselves over to them. So think of the parable of the rich man and the widow in the Gospel of Luke. So the rich man comes up, gives a large amount, makes a big production about it. And then there's this little poor widow who gives like two small coins. And Jesus praises her because she's like, she's given the two coins really represent her whole life over to God, you know? And so I would say this, whatever you can give, really, again, always with prayer and discernment, evaluate your budget, you know, see where you're at. And then just give it's see your offering as giving yourself over to God. Okay. Whether it's two small coins or whether it's $1,000, it's good in God's eyes. He wants our hearts. That's ultimately, I think, what the church, God is after the church. He just people who dedicate their whole livelihood and hearts over to Him. Okay. So it's not done through money. It's done through, like you said, Jesus, Gina, all the service that you've done, you know, at your parish and stuff like that. So don't be ashamed. You know, don't be ashamed. If you have a pastor that gives you a hard time about it, just pray for him, you know, because maybe he's really nervous and scared about his financial situation. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's just grumpy, you know, maybe he's just having a bad day too. That's possible. But yeah, my own procedure as a pastor, I never look at what people give. I don't, if I have someone that handles the tax statements and stuff like that, but I don't look at the collection. I only see the total of what was given, but I don't know who gives what. For me, I want to treat everyone the same. I don't want to go to the rich people and cater them and not care so much about the poor people. I don't want to know that information, and I don't want it to be in a compromising situation where, you know, people with money are going to, you know, try to get their own way and stuff like that. I don't want to function that. It's all about, again, dedication of the gospel, evangelization, and finding the heart of our Lord. So
yeah, I think that you make a good point, because I think sometimes we do wonder, like, do they know what we give every week? Like, does our pastor know?
And I don't. I don't know about other pastors, but I know I don't.
Yeah, so. I never got the vibe that that any of our pastors we've had ever did either, you know?
Yeah.
I always liked that about, but I know that is a concern. I think people do kind of wonder in the back of their minds, like, okay, very good. Let's go on to those that have the ability. I'm just going to use the word tithe. I know, like, you've already changed my opinion on like the one-tenth, but people that do have the financial ability to give to the church, but they just don't, maybe they have reasons, but maybe they're going to church, or maybe they give a little bit, but not like a sacrificial amount. Like, talk to us about those kind of people.
Yeah. So, honest discernment. What do you prize in life? And like I said, at the beginning, I think along with the physical needs that we need, you know, the basic needs to live, one of those is worship, you know, and the worship of our God. And most parishes, I would say the majority of parishes, at least in this diocese of Allentown, are not, you know, swimming in cash in the bathtub, you know, like we're always praying and relying for guidance. There was always legitimate needs as far as heat in the church. Today, again, in America, we're big air conditioned people, which isn't like that in those places in the world. But in America, almost everywhere you go, you expect there to be air conditioned. So we got to provide that too. Like I said, roofs and floors and walls and those are all very expensive stuff. But I think in the same, the more you can give to God and trust in it, because like you said too, one of the things with money, the more you have, the more you got to hold on to it. Okay. Our Lord's asking us to let it go. You know, now again, there's a gripe with a pastor, if you're having some issues, okay, just be generous to those in need. So it's not just the church. It's also, you know, those who are poor, those who are in need, you know, that type of thing. That's part of the gospel message as well. But like I said, the church also needs funds to survive. It's a reality of things. Mm-hmm. And to really, again, just evaluate what you spend on the disposable income stuff, right? So what do you spend on entertainment? What do you spend on luxury? And compare it to what you have to God, and just be honest with it, you know. And like I said, that's between you and God. Mm-hmm. You know, I know sometimes it's, well, you know what I mean? Sometimes like you're dealing with parents, they're not paying tuition at the Catholic school, and you see their Facebook post and they're in Disney World and they're at the American Heritage Girl store or whatever in New York City. You know, you see that they're living quite well. You know, sometimes it's a little frustrating, but yeah, compare entertainment and luxury and compare what you give to God and to the poor. And again, just be open to that discernment and to your conscience.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of tuition.
Yeah.
If money is tight, but the kids are going to Catholic school and it's a sacrifice, would you, and I think I know your answer, but I just want the listeners to hear it. How do you feel about easing up on the giving to the church so that they can do the Catholic school?
Well, the church also funds the Catholic school as well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So people don't realize that. At least in our diocese, our Catholic schools aren't self-sustaining. They are sustained by the parish. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm glad that they're sending their kids to my school, or to a Catholic school. I'm thrilled about that. So at least me personally, I wouldn't lose any sleep over it. Again, like you said, it just builds community. I think a school is really important to a parish. It really helps the life of the parish. You know, sometimes we talk about mergers and you merge into one school, the parishes that don't have the kids going to their school or going to another building, it kind of sucks the youth out of it, you know, because a lot of times then the families move to wherever the school is going to be and all that stuff. But I think me personally, I'd be okay with that. Welcome to our school. And again, just, you know, help out, volunteer, you know, that would be great, you know, to the life of the parish.
I think one of the things we could do, like you're saying, time, talent, and treasure, one of the things you could probably do is to get more people to Mass because, like you're saying, I don't know what the number is, but it was always like a certain percentage that the parish gave to the church or to the school. Yeah. So if more people are coming to church, putting in their Sunday offering, that is going to help reduce the cost of tuition. You know, I think that's why, like, we look back to our parents and grandparents' generation. There's most of them went to Catholic school if they were Catholic, but it was also way more.
That was all paid for, by the way, by the parish. I mean, like, you know, a generation, two or three generations ago. Yeah. Yeah. That was, for a lot of people, Catholic school was either very affordable, very cheap, or free because the parish subsidized all those costs. Then somewhere in the, I think let's say maybe in the 80s, is where it was like parishes like, we can't do this anymore. You know, the cost of education got way too expensive, which that could be a whole nother societal question. Why does it cost so much to educate our kids? And what are we getting out of it?
Yeah.
You know? Well, not just in Catholic school, but public schools. I mean, they talk about, you know, all that, but.
Yeah, well, they had more nuns. That's who was teaching.
Yeah, but know? Even that's different now. Our nuns are great. I would love to have them again. We used to have IHMs, and then they, because of their numbers dwindling, they moved out, focusing more on the city school parishes. I would love to have nuns, religious sisters in again, but. They're also costly.
Oh,
you got to
really?
Pay for their, oh yeah. Now you got to pay for insurance or housing. Your parish pays for all that stuff. And again, just the cost of health insurance, just that in itself is a large expense. So again, like I said, this is the society we live in now. This is, you know, so these needs are real, you know, they're very real. And I can understand why families are struggling, you know, one way or another, especially when you have multiple kids. And, you know, I get it.
Yeah. But you're saying good reminders to me personally, because I think we could give more to the church. And I'm definitely gonna have Dennis listen to this. and one of Dennis's questions was, you know, back in the old days, I don't know what year that would have been, but it was like the founding of the United States, right? It was the Catholic Church that started the schools, it started the hospitals, a lot of community outreach and programs and agencies from the Catholic Church. But now there are really good other charities. Yep. So again, I know I'm like convincing myself I need to give more to the church, because we do tithe, I guess you want to say, we give away 10%. But it's not necessarily to the Catholic Church. We give to a lot of different organizations that totals up to 10%. So, but
Gina, I know a lot about you and your personal life, so I could imagine what some of those groups are. I assume that you're given to, and they're very noble groups. Assuming, you know, not every charity is the same, but yeah, there's a lot of competition out there, which in a way is a good thing. That means there's a lot of just good social charity happening. So it's competition. I just, like I said, again, the church doesn't give a number. So if you want to give a certain percentage to the church, a certain percentage to this organization, that means a lot to you, you know? I don't see anything wrong with that. It's, you're being generous, you're giving. And knowing that, again, I think the right attitude of my whole life isn't about just serving my own needs. It's about really enhancing the life of others. It's the way of the gospel, you know. It's more we can focus less on ourselves and more on the other person, the better. So yeah, I understand. And again, I would see no fault in that myself. So,
yeah, but I'm feeling convicted to like give more to the church. I feel like, you know, because I feel like, okay, we can do more. We can do more. I can help.
Well,
more.
Don't say that, because then the diocese is going to be recruiting me to do more of these things. So, I don't want any more work.
Actually, Dennis did tell Bishop Flirt about my podcast. We'll test him and see if he's actually listening.
Exactly. But,
that sounds really good. But I also think, like, you know, if I'm just thinking of different things I did, like I volunteered to teach prep, you know, like giving of our time. I know Dennis has served on boards. He's been on the finance committee for the diocese for like 10 years. And I think like all that stuff, like what you're saying is like, it's all of our, like our efforts put together will keep the parish afloat. But there's also some very real needs, you know, especially if you're going to complain about air conditioning, you got to.
Yeah. Right.
You got to give. Yeah. And
it's expensive to do it, you know? So I'm getting mine. I have 8 units for the whole church. You know, I have a really, My church seats about 1,000 people, but there's also a social hall attached to it, our parish offices, all that's attached to it. So there's 8 units. So so it's a six-digit number to replace all 6 of those things. And, you know, these are the parking lot also 6 digits, you know. They're real expenses. So I would say, again, the church has real needs. But at the same time, though, it's also – I think the pastor and the priest, they have to have some sort of level of simplicity to their lives as well. I don't expect people to give. I don't talk. I mean, I don't take extravagant vacations. I go to Ocean City, Maryland, you know, but I don't tell people about it, though, you know, because I didn't do that in my family. My dad went to Catholic school. We lived in a row house in Redding. And we really never took fancy vacations. We went to my uncle's in Connecticut, and then he moved to Virginia. He went down to Virginia. That was our family vacation from like Thursday to Monday. You know, we never went to the beach. I think we went to the beach one time. Never went to Disney World until I was about 18 years old. You know, all those little things. But my dad, and again, I think part of it is also priority. So maybe. If I was to give another bit of advice as a priest and a pastor, really, one interested in salvation of souls, just make God your highest priority in life, you know, and then let all your decisions then kind of flow from there. And again, it doesn't have to be the church; it could be again good service to the poor, but it. Ultimately, again, our God's calling for our minds and our hearts, because He's our Father, and He wants to attend and care for us as a father would for a son or a daughter, and so I don't know. For me, it's a battle every day because there's a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of competition for our hearts. A lot of times, I love more things other than God, but you know, every day He's still there for me. You know, and trust in God, trust in His divine providence, but also don't kill yourself, you know, financially, you know, to support the church. Don't feel guilty about it. Don't, you know, just do a good, healthy examination and take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, like God provides, like I could write a book on how many times God is like, even for, you didn't go to Spain for World Youth Day, did you, with Father Hoffa and Father Ritz?
Yeah.
And, Father Mark Searles, he was on that trip. Yeah. He was still in seminary, but that trip was so much money for us. I think it was $1,500, but we didn't have it at all, but it was on my bucket list to take a group to World Youth Day. And it was one of those situations where we did installments. And so Father Hoffa was running the trip, and he would say, okay, on this day, you need $500, you know, and every installment, you know, you have more invested. And if you ever couldn't make your payment, you forfeited what you've already given, because they needed, you know, the trip had to be paid for. And so it's like, you're going deeper and deeper and deeper. And I remember we were, I think it was like one of the last payments, and I needed $500, and we just didn't have it. And I was like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I just prayed. I said, God, you know, you've put it on my heart to go to World Youth Day and all this stuff. Dennis calls me up. I'm going to cry. Calls me up from work. And back then he was commission based more. I don't know if he's listening to this. I might get it wrong and he's going to be mad. But he called me up and he was like, Gina, I made $500 today. And I was like, oh my gosh, there you go. I go, do you think I could have it? Do you think I could have it for World Youth Day? And God love him. He was like, of course, you know. And
beauty,
like,
of the marriage right there.
That was like, it was so good that God just provided for that trip in so many ways. It was just, it was an incredible trip. And I was so grateful.
I don't want to embarrass you, put you on the spot, but. That's how a marriage should work there. So Dennis earned that. He worked hard for that, but he didn't consider it his, you know, he considered it yours, and how generous he was to let you have it so you can go to Spain. I have a similar story just happened to me just the other day. We had to get a new sound system in our school for we have our masses, unfortunately, in the gym now, because the school is about 10 minutes away from the church. So we got the new sound system. It was like $1,200. And then sure enough, like a day later, someone who had died, their estate came in for $1,000. And it said in the estate, it said, I guess this is what she wanted to say, for the love of the music, you know.
Aww.
And so I said, yep, just take that and just pay off the sound system, those types of things. So that stuff happens a lot. It really does.
It really does.
Really, just give your heart to God. This, I keep saying it. I think that's the most important thing. That's what ultimately we have to give.
Yeah,
that's what He wants.
Give your heart to God. You know, get the other stuff in order. If you have to simplify a little bit. So you had said you had suggestions. Did we miss any suggestions that you have?
No, the suggestion was just about how to volunteer at a parish. Again, looking at ways to really legitimately reduce expenses is also a good way that helps the budget, you know, and helps the parish, you know, instead of paying, geez, you know, every time we have a snowstorm, I think it costs me about $1,500 to shovel the parking lot and to de-ice, you know, because we hire an outside person, a third party. You know, just imagine you have a team of like five people, you know, just a team of five people with you know, we have a parish truck, we have plow to it, you know, just how much money we would save right there. That's what you're providing, if you're not able to and to give. But yeah, I think trusting in God's divine providence is the way to go. I really do. I believe that. And
I know. And pray for priests.
Yeah.
Like we forget too that you're running an organization. You know, it's probably a multi-million-dollar organization. And that's a lot.
We're not trained at all. I mean, we got the theology down, we got the sacraments down, we got the pastoral charity down. Most of us. not everybody, I guess, but we got the human, like how to live a celibate life, how to live a priestly life, but how to do budgets and fundraising, no training whatsoever.
Yeah.
We don't have the time for it. It already takes 6 to 8 years, you know, to form us. But you can't, that stuff also, you can't teach in the classroom anyways. So I think we just kind of got to learn. So again, another service. If you're good at stuff like that, at managing and financing and stuff like that, please step forward. Seriously, many of us could use the help. I know I could.
Yeah, that's great advice. I'm taking a lot away from this little conversation, Father. So thank you so much. Anything
you,
else you want to say? Any parting words?
No, just keep up the good work. That's really neat.
You know, it's so funny.
I didn't know you were doing a podcast. Again, I knew you were doing stuff with budgets and saving spaces and all that stuff. But this is nice too.
Yeah, I love. So usually I'll have like an opening Bible verse, and then I have the episode kind of pull that apart a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
But you don't know this, but actually you were one of the people that gave me the confidence to even do this, because I think it was my last youth group that I did. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was just kind of stepping away from youth group. And I said to you, I was like, Father, I want to do like a Bible night. And you're like, okay. And I think we did the vineyard, the pruning of the vineyard, or the pruning of the vines, or, and the podcast is called Pruning to Prosper. And it's like, it's kind of from that. And I remember sitting the kids in a circle and going through that Bible passage and just kind of picking it apart line by line. And I remember at the end, you came up to me and go, Gina, you're good at this. And I was like, oh. I was like, thanks, Father. And I was
don't even
so
remember.
Excited. Well, yeah, see, like you did good. And then you don't even remember. And it meant so much to me, like all these years later. And I was like, okay, you know, and I love talking about God. I just love it. So,
well, it's Tuesday, April 30th. I don't know if you wanted me to say that, but the previous Sunday gospel passage was what the Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and we are pruned. We are pruned by his word. So all this is very, very providential here. So thanks for having me on, Gina. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I wish I didn't realize you were in Reading, because we were just there on Saturday for the Bishop Scholar. So my daughter won the Bishop Scholarship.
Oh, good. Yeah. Well, I had a first communion in the morning, then I had a wedding in the afternoon, and I had to, so probably, yeah, I definitely wouldn't be able to make it, but, well, like, hey, I have, I'm not doing this for self-promotion or anything like that, but, I do post my homilies on YouTube on our, we have a Tavella page. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No.
But Tavella is like a Catholic app where parishes can, it's like hosting a parish Facebook page, but it's not Facebook. So I always post the homilies on there every morning. And right now we're doing a Marian consecration, a 33-day consecration to our Blessed Mother. So I'm just putting that little prayer, just a little quote to bring you out throughout the day. But
yeah, can you email me all that information and I'll put
it in the show notes? Yep, no problem. No problem.
Right. Well, thank you so much, Father, for your time. And
hey,
God bless you.
Can we end just with a little glory be, right?
Sure.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.